Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, decurvans.
Wrist pain.
It's basically what we're going to be talking about today. So this is a specific type of tenosynovitis. And really what that means is just like kind of we're talking about inflammation, obviously, at a tendon, but really we're looking at degeneration around those tendons in that area on the thumb side of the wrist. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. And again, tenosynovitis, one of those long, complex medical terms. Teno meaning tendon, syno meaning synovium or the synovial fluids. Capsule, synovial fluid surrounding the joint, and itis meaning inflammation. So the joint and the tendon are a little bit inflamed. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I get out of that.
And so what's decurvans then mean?
So decurvans, it's the APL, the abductor pollicis longus, and the EPBU, the extensor pollicis brevis.
He's fancy.
Didn't even look at the notes for that one. But those two are, if you kind of move your thumb around, you will see the tendons kind of poking out at you. And they're the ones that really kind of extend, like if you're going to make a dog, a shadow puppet. It's the ones that kind of extend your thumb downward. And those are the ones that will kind of start to get irritated as we develop this tenosynovitis, this decurvans. Still not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it seems like there's 1,000 different ways to pronounce it. So we'll just go with it.
You know what we're talking about. If you have it, you've been diagnosed with it, that's how you would know.
For sure.
You have it.
I also like to, there's a few other names that they have for these, like gamer's thumb or mother's thumb, which is totally sexist because I do a lot of the chores in our house. So I could definitely get this too by washing the dishes.
This is true.
So that
actually
is a way outdated term. But I would also like to just call it millennial's thumb because of how often we are just sitting
using
on
our phones,
using our phones. And that's really what can kind of perpetuate this is that repetitive use of that thumb.
Yeah, it's typically seen ages 30s to 50s year olds. However, and you know, it's traditionally females more than males is what we see in the literature. However, I wonder if that is going to change, you know, and if it's going to become more balanced because of how often we're using our thumbs, we're using our phones, we're using our computers. I mean, technology, man.
Totally. And I think one way that everyone can kind of test this is called Finkelstein's test, where you just grab your thumbs, so wrap your fingers around your thumbs, extend your elbows all the way out, and then kind of flex your wrists down away from your elbows or away from your arms, down towards the ground, and you
towards
should
your pinky.
Yep, towards your pinky, and you should feel this pulling sensation kind of up into your wrist, and some people will feel all the way up through their forearm, but if that's really intense or if that is much worse one side versus the other, you might have some aspect of this decurvans syndrome.
Right, exactly. And so like other things that we've kind of shifted away from this itis, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about this with plantar fasciitis. We've talked about this with tennis elbow, golfer's elbow. So we're getting away from tendons just being inflamed and it being an inflammatory thing that we need to just rest and put ice on and hope that it gets better, right? Yeah. Which we're going to talk about the treatments. Yeah, I know. The eyes are already rolling. However, you know, we're knowing and based on the physiology that we know today, we know that it's more of a degeneration of these tissues.
All right. So it's degeneration that when we kind of overuse all of these tendons a lot, our body basically dumps a bunch of crap in the area. And what this crap is myeloid fibers, fibrocartilaginous material, and mucopolysaccharides, blah, blah, blah.
Good job.
A bunch of different types of collagen, a bunch of different building blocks our body sends there to be like, hey, we're overusing these a ton.
Right.
There might be some inflammation early on. again, once it becomes this chronic inflammatory process, we don't see as much of the inflammation as we see all of these building blocks being dumped in that area, and our body really doesn't know what to do with it because we're just overusing those tendons in one specific way or repetitively in one way rather than doing what our body's built to do and moving in all directions.
Exactly. I mean, you're basically ending the podcast right there. I feel like, especially if you've gone back and you've listened to even our episode about ice, like how often should I use ice? Because even as I'm reading through the literature, it's still, or even just Googling it, and it's still something that pops up as like the first thing to do, rest, ice, and use some conservative treatment. Okay, what does that mean? Right? And so I think it's really important that we start to dissect through that a little bit more, and we're not so afraid to move, because traditionally it's like, oh, I'm inflamed, don't move, put ice on it. But we know that ice isn't going to do quite as much, especially if it's now down the road. This has been repetitively happening. We don't have initial inflammation in the area. So what do we do, really?
Yeah. And I mean, how this is caused, or like some things that contribute to this, is all these repetitive motions, like using your phone, being on technology, typing on a computer, playing piano, different, you know, sports or active things like golf, hammering a nail, like doing construction activities, or a bunch of different like kitchen chores and stuff, where you might be
sweeping, mopping, you know, stuff that's like, especially if we're thinking it's going toward the thumb side. So anything that you do that's kind of bringing that hand and that wrist back toward the thumb side and kind of up into extension, and maybe the thumb goes out with it. So if it's happening a lot, maybe it's in your job or in your work, like think about what motions you're doing and how often you're doing it. And are you doing anything else, you know, to supplement that? We have to be, if we're going to be sitting a lot, we talked about this, right? If we're going to be sitting a lot, then we do other motions that supplement that back flexion. And so that's basically what we're going to get into with the wrist too.
Yeah. And they were saying a lot of the treatments is, okay, avoid all of those movements and maybe go into a splint. And then some things that we were reading, it said splinting for up to like 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm just like, again, what are we doing to help reverse that tendon degeneration and all the disorganization that we get of those collagen fibers? What kind of movements or activities are we now introducing to be able to reverse that building process and start reorganizing that so that we can go into Finkelstein's test and not have that intense, you know, burn or intense pull up our arm and our wrist? Not just sitting in a splint for that amount of time.
I know. And obviously we can't give like a blanket one statement thing, right? So if you are experiencing swelling directly on that side of your thumb and wrist, if you are experiencing, you know, intense pain, intense swelling, stuff like that, maybe a splint in the beginning as you're moving, I would say splinting during those repetitive movements can be beneficial to help take down some of that strain and that overuse. However, outside of that, how can we start moving, you know, outside of the splint? And so there's always ways to work with the treatment that's given, but we also have to make sure that we remember that movement is literally life, and it's the only way that we're going to get back into feeling something different.
And I did see one thing that said splinting just like intermittently throughout your day rather than immobilization splinting for, you know, an extended amount of time was definitely a better approach, which, again, like you said, if you're in a place where trying to hold your cell phone in your hand is going to cause intense pain, we might want to go with that splinting route. We might want to do some different, you know, rest, icing, even things to get your body a little more comfortable to even be able to do basic movement without as much pain.
Yeah, exactly. And then we look at shots, injections, because I think this is a hot topic as well, especially when we are experiencing pain. Essentially, we've been taught we need to run from pain. If pain is here, what is the first thing that I can do to erase it and make it go away? And that's when injections and shots and all of this stuff sound super attractive, because if it's going to, even short term, take away my pain so I can get back to the things I want to be doing in life, it's very attractive. And what we're recommending with movement is more long term. It takes a long time. It's not as instantaneous. However, I liked looking at one of the studies, which kind of, again, meta-analysis brought a lot of different studies together. It looked at 1,200 different studies talking about, in particular, corticosteroid injections. And really, it had to dice through a lot to even see what was going to be acceptable in the literature. And when it came down to it, it's like, okay, what we overall see is that you can maybe say for sure that there's some short-term reduction in pain. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. And again, with that short-term reduction in pain, what are we doing?
Right.
Are we going to change any of those behaviors that will then long-term change the tendon structure so that when we go back to whatever we were doing before, whether it was our job, whether it was taking care of our family at a full 100%, whether it was gaming and streaming like your life depends on life depends on it, like, are you doing anything different so that those tendons of your abductors and extensors of your thumb are going to be modeled slightly differently? If we just get the shot and immobilize for 4 weeks and then try to get back to it, you might run into the same thing down the road.
We didn't change anything.
No, then. We didn't change anything. So again, not to demonize the shot. If you go in and get a corticosteroid shot and it changes your life as far as how your thumb feels, great. Use that 2 to 3 weeks of improved, you know, pain, improved sensation that it gives you to then work into some light stretching of those tendons, work into some overall mobility of the fingers and the hands and the wrist. And then you might find like, oh my gosh, when I go back to the things, even 2, 3, 4 months later, it's significantly better.
Right. And we don't want to have to rely on shots, because even if it's a short-term fix, you definitely, it starts to wear at our tissue if we get too many.
Yeah.
So I personally don't recommend more than one.
And I did read one thing on this where it says, you know, within that 4 to 6 week period after the first shot, like you could get a second shot, but then more, you know, continued injections is not recommended after that for exactly what you said. It contributes to more tendon and muscle wasting and tissue wasting than anything.
And what your insurance usually does cover, what once you've gone down this gamut hole of, you know, how do I start to address my pain? Pain management is usually the first step, rather than surgery, is usually getting a shot, which is fine. But can you request, because your insurance can cover physical therapy as well, up to a certain amount of visits, most insurances, I would say. So if your doctor or your pain management team recommends getting that shot, no matter what it is, even if it's just hyaluronic acid, you know, or if it is the corticosteroid, if you're going to get an injection, can you request physical therapy with it or occupational therapy? Request some kind of therapy with the injection. It's going to be a much better long-term treatment to actually getting you to feel something different and better.
Yeah. And then, of course, the last option is always going into some sort of surgical treatment, which, especially for these, not a lot of them indicate going all the way to the surgical route.
Right.
But basically, all it does is it is a release of what they call the first dorsal compartment. On the back of your hand, you have five compartments on the dorsal side of your hand that different tendons run through. And these two go through your first compartment. Yeah. And so they'll do a slight release of that. And again, when they do get to that surgical method, a lot of them do find that there's some benefit from it, but that always comes with associated risks.
Exactly. I mean, that's going to be higher costs. That's going to be, you're going to have to do physical therapy or occupational therapy for a lot longer,
after
you know?
That.
Yeah. So it's not a, there, nothing is a quick fix here.
Yeah.
Even if you get the corticosteroid shot, you should be doing some treatment and some physical therapy to aid with that to actually start to feel something different. So all of these, you know, we always want to come back to what is not moving well. I'm obviously moving only in one direction, mm-hmm. right? Can I move in the other direction? So that is literally Finkelstein's test, which can be really aggressive as you grab into the thumb. So maybe you're even just doing it where you're not quite grabbing the thumb, but you're just kind of taking that top portion or that lower portion of the thumb and kind of stretching it down. Maybe that's a little less aggressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be one of the first things to just kind of, if I'm putting my thumb up a lot, can I put my thumb down and kind of give it a little stretch? Literally doing it and taking it in the opposite direction.
Yeah. And then just your thumb moves in a lot. Our thumb joint is super complicated. I don't even want to get into the specifics of the mechanics of the joint, but we go into flexion, extension, abduction, adduction. And then there is an aspect of this like almost pronation and supination of our thumb. So can we move into all those different abduction, adduction, flexion, extension? Can you touch each finger?
Just get that thing
moving, especially if you are somebody who's working at a computer all day long, somebody who is on their phone for work a lot, you know, a lot of the day, or doing different chores around the house. How can you stop and give your hands, give your wrists a break? Go into full wrist extension, flexion, radial and ulnar deviation. Mm-hmm. I like doing this thing called bear claw and then tabletop with your fingers going into a bear claw,
I like that one.
Tabletop. And it just really helps all of these muscles and tendons of all of the muscles in your hand and around that thumb start to engage, start to activate. And then like Jen said, going into that Finkelstein's test. I mean, generally the thing that we test in order to provoke the symptom is the thing we want to get back to and be able to do without provoking those symptoms.
Right. Like you'll still feel a stretch for sure. Again, grabbing the thumb is a little bit aggressive for some people. So if you just kind of stretch over, like you should not have a lot of pain with that. Right. And so if we're thinking about these things, like how can we start to get back to it? And then remembering that the thumb doesn't function alone, right? It's mm-hmm. into our wrist. And so we've done an episode on wrist mobility. And I really recommend going to listen to that one if you do have anything related to the wrist, because we go over specifically the different ranges of motion. We go over specifically the reason why you would want all ranges of motion, especially if you're someone who works on your phone or computer and then you want to go into yoga and be on your hands a lot. Yeah. Well, that's going to add a lot of pressure to the wrist if you don't have good range of motion in the wrist. So,
totally.
You know, it's so important to be addressing the entire system and not just looking so locally. We're so good at like getting pinpointed on where we have the pain, not as good at looking at like, well, what else can contribute around that area?
Yeah, all the way up through our elbow and everything. So mm-hmm. know what you do, know what your tendencies are and why we may have developed this thing. And how do we put together a comprehensive plan to long-term address it?
Right. And that's where working with a physical therapist, occupational therapist, again, really great at the hands. And if you need splinting to go along with the exercise, you know, we do learn these different splints and techniques in order to provide you with the support that you need along this journey. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community, tell us what you're learning, rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.